In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom. Oh, Holy Spirit, be with us today. Fill us with your presence. Fill us with your presence as we walk through the Word of God, as we hear the Word of God, as we read the Word of God. Matthew 21, verse 31. Truly, truly, Jesus says, I say to you that publicans and harlots come into the kingdom of God before you, before the Pharisees and the Sadducees. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and you didn't believe him, but the publicans and harlots believed him. Why do publicans and harlots enter the kingdom ahead of the religious people? Because they know they are in need of a Savior. They know that they are in need of forgiveness. They know that without Jesus, they're lost. We see the woman who washes his feet with the alabaster jar. She breaks open the alabaster jar and pours all the ointment upon Jesus. Publicans and sinners enter the kingdom ahead of the religious people. It can still be that way. It can still be that way. Hear another parable. There was a certain householder which planted a vineyard and hedged it round about and dug a winepress in it and built a tower and let it out to husbandmen, and he went into a far country. And when the time of the fruit drew near, God's always looking for fruit, he sent his servants to the husbandmen that might receive the fruits of it. And the husbandman took his servants, and they beat one, killed another, and stoned another. Sounds like the prophets to me. Again, he sent other servants more than the first, and they did the likewise to them. But last of all, he sent them his son, that's Jesus, saying, they will reverence my son. And when the husbandmen saw the son, they said among themselves, this is the heir, come, let us kill him. Let us seize on his inheritance. And they caught him and cast him out of the vineyard and slew him. Jesus died outside of the walls of Jerusalem. And the Lord therefore of the vineyard cometh, what will he do to these people? They said unto him, he will destroy those wicked men and will let out his vineyard unto other husbandmen, the Gentiles, which shall render him the fruits of their seasons. Jesus said unto them, did you never read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected, Jesus, the same is become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore I say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken away from you, Sadducees and Pharisees, and given to a nation bringing forth the fruit thereof, the Gentiles. But you know what? We need to be bearing fruit, because God can take the kingdom away from us too. We have the truth, and we do have the truth. But how do we use the truth? How do we bring people to Jesus? How do we bring people into the baptism of the Spirit? How do we bring people into the presence of God? You see, we have the fullness of truth in the Catholic Church, but are we using the fullness of truth? That's another issue. That's another issue, that we can be like the Pharisees and the Sadducees and saying, you know, we've got the truth. The truth means responsibility. It doesn't mean honor. The truth means response. The more God gives you, the more responsibility you have. I'm responsible for this radio program. I need to be in front of this microphone. I need to preach the Word of God in season and out of season. Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken away from you, the Pharisees and Sadducees, and given to a nation, the Gentiles, bringing forth the fruits thereof. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it fall will grind him to powder. And when the chief priests and the Pharisees had heard this parable, they perceived that Jesus spoke of them. They were right. But when they sought to lay hands on him, they feared the multitude, because they took him as a prophet. So, you see, the form of religion was very real with the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And not all the Pharisees were bad. We see Nicodemus, and we see Joseph of Arimathea. They turned to Jesus. They realized that they were in need of salvation. They realized they were in need of God's mercy. They realized they were in need of the forgiveness of God. Chapter 22. And Jesus answered and spoke unto them another parable and said, The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage feast for the son. He sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They would not come. Again he sent forth the servants, saying, Tell them which are bidden, Behold, I prepare my dinner. My oxen, my fatlings are killed. Everything is ready for the marriage feast. Come into it. And they made light of it and went their way, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them, slew the ones that were inviting people. When the king heard this, he was angry. And he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city, prophetic of what was going to happen to Jerusalem in the year 70. Then saith he to his servants, The wedding is ready, but they which were bidden are not worthy, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Go ye therefore into the highways and the byways, and as many as you shall find, bid them to come to the marriage feast. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good. And the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not a wedding garment on. Now, what is the wedding garment? Some people say baptism. Other people say it was a garment that was at the door and he never put it on. And he saith unto him, Friend, how did you come here at a wedding without the wedding garment? He was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, Bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into the outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen. Seems very, very harsh, doesn't it? But you see, we need to have the wedding garment on of faith, the wedding garment of hope, the wedding garment of charity, of love. We need to have the wedding garment on that cares for people. You see, Christians care for people. They love God and they care for people. You might say, what kind of people? People that we're attracted to and people that we're not attracted to. I cannot say Jesus, Jesus, if I am not caring for people, the ones that I'm attracted to and the ones that I'm not attracted to. I need to say Jesus, Jesus, and I begin to love his people, the ones that I'm attracted to and the ones I'm not attracted to. Otherwise, I'm not a Christian. It's as simple as that. It's going to be, he's going to say that again in the 22nd chapter. In the verse 34, it's going to be the same thing, that we need to love, 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 love. That is what we are called to do. Why? Because God first loved us. Let's continue. Verse 15 of chapter 22. Then went the Pharisees and took counsel how they might entangle him in his talk. So they're trying to entangle Jesus in the things that he says. These are the Pharisees. And they sent out unto him their disciples and the Herodians, saying, Master, we know that you are true. They're buttering him up. You teach the way of God and truth. You do not care about any man, human respect, for you regard not the person of men. Tell us, therefore, what do you think? Is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not? So they're trying to trick Jesus. And Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, Why do you tempt me, you hypocrites? Show me the tribute money. And they brought unto him a penny or a coin. And he said unto them, Whose inscription and image is this? And they said unto him, Caesar's. Then saith he unto them, Render therefore unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. And when they had heard these words, they marveled and left him and went their way. Render to Caesar the things that belong to Caesar, and to God belongs to God. What belongs to God? Everything belongs to God. My eyesight, my ears, my hearing, my preaching, everything belongs to God. It's a gift. Render to God the things that belong to God. Everything. My life, my home, my money, my life, everything. My car, everything belongs to God. Everything belongs to God. And why? Because he has given them to me. He's given them to me. Why has he given them to me? Because he trusts me with them. You see, God can't trust everybody with money. He cannot, because they know, he knows what they're going to do with it. But if we tithe our money and give more than tithing, God can trust us with money. He can trust us with goods. And that's the way he is. And that's the way it should be. He trusts us. Why? Because he finds us worthy of trust. And when they had heard these words, they marveled and left him and went their way. Now, we're talking about the Sadducees. The Sadducees do not believe in the resurrection. So they're trying to trick Jesus up, to trip Jesus up. The same came unto him, the Sadducees, which say that there is no resurrection. And they asked Jesus, Master, Moses says if a man die and has no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up children unto his brother. Now there were seven brothers. The first, when he had married a wife, deceased, and having no child, left his wife to his brother. Likewise the second also, the third unto the seventh. And last of all, the woman died. Therefore in the resurrection, whose wife shall she be? Because she's had seven husbands, you see. Jesus is on FM and they're on AM. Whose wife? For they shall all have her as a wife. Jesus answered and said unto them, You err. You don't know the scriptures, nor the power of God. That's very important, because they go together, the scriptures and the power of God, the power of the Holy Spirit. For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. But as touching the resurrection of the dead, have ye not read which is spoken unto you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, I am the God of Isaac, I am the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. And when the multitude heard this, they were astonished at his doctrine. Again, the Sadducees are trying to trip Jesus up. You know, the man had seven wives. Who will be her husband in heaven, in the kingdom of God? And Jesus said, you have no idea what you're talking about. You're talking about human things. I'm talking about heavenly things. In the heavens and in the kingdom, the people don't marry or given in marriage. There's no more of that. It's not needed. See, he knows how to trick them. He knows how to go right to the root of things. They try to trick him up, but he goes to the root of things. And when the multitude heard this, they were astonished at his doctrine. This is important. This is very important. You see, Jesus knows exactly how to deal with the people that really hate him. But does he hate those people? He doesn't. He does not hate the Pharisees, and he does not hate the Sadducees. But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said unto him, the lawyer, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with thy whole heart, with thy whole soul, with thy whole mind. This is the first and the great commandment, and the second is like unto it, thou shalt love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law of the prophets." Now, who is my neighbor? We heard about the man going from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he was beaten by robbers, and he was the neighbor. But who wants to pick up a man almost dead? The priest and the scribe walked right by him. We cannot be like that. If we say we love Jesus, we have to love our neighbor. And you know, I'm not attracted to all my neighbors, but I'm called to love them. I'm called to love them, or else I'm a hypocrite. I'm a hypocrite. And I don't want to be a hypocrite, because that's just the way it is. That's just the way it is. I don't want to be hypocrisy. I want to be the best that I can be. Now, am I perfect in loving people? No, I'm not perfect. Do I sometimes lose my temper? Yes, sometimes I lose my temper. But you know what? Then I say I'm sorry. Then I say I'm sorry. Oh, God, we're called to love God with our whole heart, our whole soul, and our whole mind, and to love our neighbor as ourself. And Jesus, in the 16th chapter, or the 15th chapter of St. John, says, "Love one another as I have loved you, even unto death." Even unto death. So the great commandment is to love God with your whole heart, your whole soul, your whole mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself. That is the second commandment. On these two commandments hang the law and the prophets. While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, "What do you think of Christ? Whose son is he?" They said unto Jesus, "The son of David." And he said unto them, "How then does David in the Spirit call him Lord, saying, 'The Lord said unto my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool'? If David then called him Lord, how is he his son?" You see, this Jesus, the Lord, the Father, said to my Lord, the Son, "Sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool." If David then calls him Lord, how is he his son? And no man was able to answer Jesus a word. Neither did any man from that day forth ask him any more questions. They all tried to trip Jesus up. They all tried, but they can't. Jesus knows the hearts of people. Now what happens if you're finding it hard to love? You repent. You repent, that's all. And you start again. You start again. It's all about charity. It's all about charity. Charity is nothing I deserve. Charity is someone given to me. His name is Jesus. And we need to have the way of Jesus. Jesus loved everybody. And we are called to be like Jesus. Is it difficult? It is difficult. Some people, I want to just say, you know what? But I don't have the right to do that. Why? Because as Jesus loves me, I need to love other people. As Jesus has given his life to me as a ransom, I need to give my life to other people. This is basic Christianity. It is not very deep. It is basic. Remember what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount. If you love those that love you, what credit is that to you? Even the pagans do that. It shall not be like that. You shall love those who do not love you. That's what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount. Lord, I am totally imperfect in this. I want you to teach me by your Holy Spirit how to love and how to care for people. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Sometimes the phone rings and I don't want to answer it. I'm tired. I've been answering it all day. But you see, Jesus is behind that phone. Have I always answered it? Well, I'd say 95% of the time. Not 100%. I'd be a liar to say 100%, because I saw who it was, and I've talked to them twice today, and I don't need to talk to them again. Or I talked to them once today, and I don't need to talk to them again. But the next day they call me, I pick up the phone. They pick up, and we start again. This is basic Christianity, to love the people that God puts in your basket. I'm going to tell you, I've heard the story about the basket, that God puts certain people in our baskets, and people try to run away from some of the people. So where they run away, they find the same kind of people when they run away. May as well start loving the people that are in your basket. Now, who's in your basket? Your family's in your basket. Oh, yes, your family. And those around you, they're in your basket. So don't run away from that. You know why? You'll only find them someplace else. Because God's trying to teach you something about love. Is it difficult to love? Yeah, it's difficult to love. It's difficult to love because sometimes I don't feel like loving. That's real. I'm trying to be honest with you. Sometimes I don't feel like loving, but yet I'm called to love people just like you. We are called to love people, but more than that, we are called to love God with our whole heart, our whole soul, our whole mind. And then the second is like it, that we shall love the Lord and we shall love our neighbor as ourselves. Tired by preaching this today. Now, you know what? I'm going to be honest with you. God's going to bring people into my life today that I wouldn't naturally be drawn to. And he's going to say, okay, are you going to be the hypocrite? You see, I have to eat my own words. I have to eat my own words. And again, I've not done it perfectly. I've never done anything perfectly, but I want to learn how to love. Because God so loved me that he gave me Jesus. Hallelujah. God so loved you that he gave you Jesus. Hallelujah. I thank you for listening. I'm on every day at this time proclaiming the word of God. Oh yes, we've been doing this for 31 years by the grace of the living God. Could not be done without the help of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit helps me in proclaiming the word so that you can understand it, so that I can understand it. The word of God is not difficult, but we need the Holy Spirit to help us in understanding the word of God. As we heard today, the Pharisees and Sadducees came to trip Jesus up, but Jesus has all the answers. Let me tell you, Jesus is the answer. He's the answer to every question. He's the answer to every sickness. He's the answer to every death. I want to invite you to the Days of Glory, November 5th to the 8th, and it's going to be at the Crown Plaza Holiday Inn in Woburn, Massachusetts. That's 15 Middlesex Canal Park in Woburn, Massachusetts. If you are interested, I'm going to give you a telephone number. And this is not Boston. I think this is Arizona. 520-423-9290. I'll repeat it. 520-423-9290. I'll repeat it again so that you'll get it. 520-423-9290. One more time. 520-423-9290. 9290, Days of Glory. I will be there. Maria Vadia will be there. Sister Linda Coons, Dr. Renee, Ruth Conneal, Andy Lou, Amy Lou, and Michelle Akers. And it's going to be a good time for the glory of God to come upon God's people. We need the presence of God in these days. These days are dark and dreary, even when the sun is out. We hear one bad thing to the next. We hear about shootings. We hear about gay marriage. We hear about abortion. We need to be tanked up with the presence of God. We need to be tanked up with Jesus Christ so that we can love and so that we can victoriously go through life. That's why we need the glory of God, the presence of God. So it's called Days of Glory, November 5th to the 8th, and you could go for one day or 2 days, and the telephone number is 520-423-9290. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, let it be done unto me according to your word. And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.